We've produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
As a person of faith, I believe we are called to care for each other and work to ease human suffering. I believe we have been given the capacity and will to pursue this research, and the humanity and conscience to do so responsibly.
That's President Obama announcing earlier today that he's lifting a ban on federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon, the 9th of March. Our email address right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. And our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Dr. David Prentice is Senior Fellow for Life Sciences for the Family Research Council, based in Washington, D.C. Dr. Prentice, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be back.
It was expected, but what was your reaction this morning when President Obama announced that federal funding would begin to flow for embryonic stem cell research after 8 years of a ban under George W. Bush?
Well, it was sad also because, you know, there wasn't a ban before. There was already federal money flowing for this, but it was restricted to certain dishes or lines of these human embryonic stem cells. And that restriction was important because it didn't encourage more embryo destruction. And what we've got now, unfortunately, with President Obama's executive order is it opens the floodgates, number one. Anyone who has destroyed an embryo and put the cells in the dish can now get federal funds. And, of course, that's going to encourage others to do it and maybe even to move into the realm of human cloning.
We're getting the reactions of various guests to President Obama's statements this morning. He had a number of things to say, and I'd like your reaction as well. He talked about the promise of embryonic stem cell research in general.
The full promise of stem cell research remains unknown, and it should not be overstated. But scientists believe these tiny cells may have the potential to help us understand and possibly cure some of our most devastating diseases and conditions, to regenerate a severed spinal cord and lift someone from a wheelchair, to spur insulin production and spare a child from a lifetime of needles, to treat Parkinson's, cancer, heart disease.
That's a lot of promise there. How much of that promise is can we deliver on?
Well, probably none of it, certainly not in the next couple of decades. But it's also important to point out every one of those five diseases that he mentioned, there's already been published evidence showing that adult stem cells actually already have helped patients. Spinal cord injury, groups in Portugal and Australia have shown adult stem cells have improved the patient's health. Juvenile diabetes, 2 years ago, researchers showed that they got 13 patients totally off of their insulin with their own adult stem cells. Parkinson's, 2 weeks ago, the publication of a patient who went 5 years without symptoms with his own adult stem cells. Cancer, there are thousands of patients alive today, but it's because of their adult stem cell treatment. And heart disease, the same thing. We're seeing some medical centers actually advertising using the patient's own adult stem cells now to treat heart damage.
President Obama also invoked the name of the late actor Christopher Reeve.
Christopher did not get that chance. But if we pursue this research, maybe one day, maybe not in our lifetime or even in our children's lifetime, but maybe one day, others like Christopher Reeves might.
That focuses on spinal cord injury. What has been shown so far?
Well, and notice what he said, maybe not in our lifetime or our children's lifetime. That's true if we're talking about embryonic stem cells. But there are already groups. There's a doctor in Portugal who's treated over 70 patients for spinal cord injury with their own adult stem cells. Now, it's not a cure at this point. Obviously, a lot more work needs to go in to refine that technique. But here are patients with older injuries, not just recent, but up to years after the injury, who have recovered some movement, sensation, even walking again with the aid of braces. But again, it's not embryonic, it's adult stem cells.
One of the subjects that comes up again and again when we talk embryonic stem cell research is human cloning. Here's what the president had to say this morning.
We will ensure that our government never opens the door to the use of cloning for human reproduction. It is dangerous, profoundly wrong, and has no place in our society or any society.
What's he saying there, Dr. Prentice?
Well, and we'd agree with him to that extent. He's saying we don't want born clones. We don't want to be manufacturing clone children. But what he didn't say then is the flip side, that he approves of cloning human embryos for experiments, what some people have called therapeutic cloning, but it's really a clone-to-kill type of experiment where you create the human clone and then you destroy it for experiments.
Do you think the president understands that? Because he did qualify by saying, you know, for reproduction or to reproduce. Do you think he understands that cloning is cloning regardless of to what end one clones a human being?
Well, I'm not sure that he really does, or his advisors, although they certainly should, because it's the same technique to make the clone, whether you decide to put it in a womb in hopes of a live birth, or just rip it apart to harvest its cells like harvesting a crop.
Echoing something that he promised to do in his inaugural address, here's President Obama this morning talking about allowing science and scientists to take their proper place.
It's about letting scientists, like those who are here today, do their jobs, free from manipulation or coercion, and listening to what they tell us, even when it's inconvenient. It is about ensuring that scientific data is never distorted or concealed to serve a political agenda, and that we make scientific decisions based on facts, not ideology.
What do the facts of science tell us about embryonic stem cells and adult stem cells?
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing, Todd. The facts tell us that embryonic stem cell research using embryos is obsolete, outdated science. It's the poorest science, and it's also just bad healthcare policy. When you compare the results to adult stem cells for patients or even these new induced type of stem cells where you add a few genes to a skin cell and it reprograms it to act like an embryonic stem cell, but without embryos, eggs, or cloning. Scientists themselves are moving towards this new and better science and leaving behind the embryos.
Well, here's one more cut from President Obama this morning announcing his willingness to permit federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. President Obama says that most Americans agree with him about embryonic stem cell research.
The majority of Americans from across the political spectrum and from all backgrounds and beliefs have come to a consensus that we should pursue this research, that the potential it offers is great, and with proper guidelines and strict oversight, the perils can be avoided.
Can any guidelines or oversight, if the source of these stem cells is embryonic, be sufficient?
Well, no. And in fact, what he's done is, as part of this new order, he's tossed this over to the scientists at the National Institutes of Health to come up with their own limits and guidelines. So the scientists will set their own limits. Little scary thought there. And of course, this idea that there's a majority or a consensus, obviously polls always reflect the way you phrase the question. So if we say, are you interested in stem cell research for cures? Not too many people say no. But when you talk about destruction of young human life and no certain outcome, especially compared to the better science of adult stem cells, the numbers change.
What puzzles me about this, Dr. Prentice, is that if the past is a good indication for the future, private funding for stem cell research has gone in the direction of the successes, namely adult stem cells. You've pointed this out again and again. And private money has tended not to go so much to embryonic stem cell research. What's driving the desire for federal funding for embryonic stem cell research if the successes and the most efficient use of money, I would think, in this case, are in adult stem cells?
Well, and I think it is then ideology. It's obviously not science because, as you point out, the private investors go after the success and a chance of return. But, of course, then if you want to do embryonic stem cell research or want to just play with embryos, you've got to get the money somewhere. That's why they're coming to the taxpayer. And, of course, we've got something like $8 billion more dollars going into the National Institutes of Health due to some of these stimulus bills. There's going to be a lot more money there. They want at it.
Finally, then, why is President Barack Obama simply wrong about embryonic stem cell research?
Well, I think he's wrong on both the ethics and the science. The ethics shows that you have to destroy a young human being to get these embryonic stem cells. And, of course, the science, as we've already discussed, mostly what these cells do is make tumors in rats and mice. Putting the money and focusing on the stem cells from embryos is going to take it away from the successful and ethical science, the adult stem cells.
Dr. David Prentice is a senior fellow for life sciences for the Family Research Council, based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to the Family Research Council and an interview that we had earlier today with Dr. Robert George on this same issue at issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page, issuesetc.org. Dr. Prentice, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, it'll be Mark Silk joining us. There's a new survey out. It's a rather sizable survey. I always like when the surveys survey more than 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 people. This one, tens of thousands of Americans over the course of several months answering questions about their religious affiliation, how they identify themselves religiously. Fastest growing group. I'll give you a little hint. Fastest growing group, not the biggest and not the largest by any stretch of the imagination, but the fastest growing group is either Christians who identify themselves as non-denominational, even if they might have a denominational affiliation, and none of the above. When we come back, Mark Silk will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned for the last 10 minutes of Issues Etc. this Monday, March the 9th.
Produced a new CD of two sermons preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin, one for Lent and one for Easter. And we'll send you this new CD for any size donation during the season of Lent. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between now and April 12th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Lent and Easter sermons.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
How a picture and sound advice saved a life.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
After seeing an ultrasound image of her unborn baby daughter, Joy, a woman determined to have an abortion, decided she could not end her baby's life. She was also influenced by counsel from a nurse at the Women's Resource Center. Noted Joy, she said that God already had a plan for my baby's life, and He had a plan for her at 1 year, 5 years, and even 50 years. Joy took the ultrasound picture home with her and called the tiny baby her little gummy bear. She married the baby's father, and Marley Marie was born in November of 2006.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.